I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 57.
And this has probably been this series of episodes. This may be 8 or 9 parts. I have no idea.
Oh, is this a mid-season season finale?
This may take us to the season finale.
Oh boy, interesting.
Because this has been probably our most requested thing, the most things sent to us in the last half year, if not more.
Okay.
Plasmoids.
Oh boy, like ball lightning alternatives.
Some of it. No, because we're going to talk about this article that was published, and I'll name all the contributors. It was in the Journal of Modern Physics, so a pretty prestigious journal as far as in what they publish. And this is a... Sorry.
It's a what?
There's just a lot of people, groups, organizations across the world that went into researching in this article.
Okay.
So I'll give you the title. And keep in mind, this is in the... It is... an article in the Journal of Modern Physics, okay?
Okay.
So this is not in one of our, which I'm not saying anything against, one of our UFO journals.
Right. This is one that's, I guess, pre-approved by the man.
That it's mostly for, like, physicists. It's, you know, it's for academia.
Peer-reviewed.
So let me give you the title. Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, Extraterrestrial Life, Plasmoids, Shapeshifters, Replicons, Thunderstorms, lightnings, hallucinations, aircraft disasters, and ocean sightings.
So it's pulling a lot of things together into one, right?
Mm-hmm. Not to spoil too much, a lot of this stuff, this came out at the end of last year, 2024.
Okay.
And it wasn't peer-reviewed until earlier this year, 2025.
Okay.
A lot of this stuff we've been talking about for 4 or 5 years before that.
Okay.
Not using the same terminology.
Right.
But there's a whole big thing in here talking about sentient energy beings living in our atmosphere that are shaped like manta rays.
Interesting. Like atmospheric?
Like atmospheric manta rays that live, you know, 40 miles up and, you know, just saying. It's odd.
If only we knew somewhere to learn about those, or if there was a book, perhaps.
Check out Living UFOs, The Ocean Above Our Heads.
Yes, it's in the description of this episode. Check out our description of our episode. You know, we don't talk about that enough. There's a lot of good stuff hidden in there.
Yeah, we hide stuff. So I'll name contributors first. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that have recently don't like my pronunciation of things, I'm sorry, but it will happen again.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show.
Ambrosia's comment about it was the funniest.
Which one was hers?
Like, why did they listen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When we were talking on Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why
do these still listen?
So I'm going to...
Because the info is good. We bring the info to you.
Okay. I've never seen Ron spelled this way.
Okay. Is it R-A-H-N?
No, close. R-H-A-W-N. Like Sean.
Oh.
R-H-A-W-N. Like Sean.
Ron. That's cool.
That's the only reason I'm pronouncing it like Ron, is because it's the word Sean with an R.
I think you're right. Okay, Ron.
Ron Gabriel Joseph, Oliver Plancino, Christopher Empey, Richard Armstrong, Carl Gibson, and Rudolf Schildchild.
All right.
I think the only one I messed up was Christopher's last name. No, it was Oliver's last name I messed up. I don't know. Planchon? Sorry, Oliver. But the other universities, so each of these are the main author for their own like university,
okay,
their group. So I'm going to name all those. So there's six people in six groups that went into this.
Okay.
The Astrobiology Research Center in California, the USA. The Astrobiology Research Center.
Okay.
I think I should work there.
Astrobiology.
Mm-hmm. CNRSUMR 6282 Bioto Science University de Beaujon-Bajor, France.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Here's where the trickery comes in.
Department of Astronomy, University of Arizona, Tucson.
Okay.
Department of Vision Sciences, Anton University, Birmingham, UK. Center of Astrophysics and Space Sciences, Scripps Institute of Oceanography, University of California, San Diego.
Okay.
And then the Center of Aerophysics, Harvard, Smithsonian, Cambridge University.
Oh, boy. I don't like that one. I don't like a few of those, actually. So we got Harvard schools. We got California schools.
Yeah, the people. I named the people in order.
Yeah.
For the universities or the things they represent.
Gotcha. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to read, like, this is 91 pages. I thought about cutting it up and piecing stuff, but I could completely make my ideas look like this is what this article's talking, this whole thing is talking about.
Just by...
by piecemealing it.
Yeah. Selectively.
I don't want to do that. So I'm going to try to just... we're just going to try... what we're going to do is go for an hour at a time, a little bit, you know, and get it through as much as we can and just talk about it.
Okay.
Because I've seen this article being thrown around a lot, and I think a lot of people are doing that.
And using it as...
taking one paragraph out of a 91-page scientific journal article.
Mm-hmm. That happens quite often.
And because I could do that.
Yeah.
Because there's whole things about these things being sentient and shaped like manta rays.
Mm.
And I could be like, see?
Told you so.
Ignore the other 85 pages.
Right, yeah.
But we're going to read the abstract first.
Okay.
Okay. As documented by NASA Space Shuttle Films and determined in the report, self-illuminating, pulsating, plasma-like UAP/UFO, a.k.a. plasmoids, have multiple shape sizes and are attracted to electromagnetic activities. They travel at different velocities from different directions, making 90 to 180 degree turns, as well as colliding with each other, intersecting and piercing other plasma. They have been filmed in the U.S. Navy personnel and U.S. Customs and Border Protection DHC-8 flying above and diving in and sinking into beneath, or sorry, sinking slash beneath the ocean. And by NASA, following, circling, and hovering near space shuttles, satellites, and the MIR International Space Station. So let me pause right there.
Okay.
That's in the first book we did. We talked about this stuff.
Right.
Talking about people seeing jellyfish and squids, you know, the sky squids from the space stations that they said didn't exist.
Right. These things don't exist. Come on. There's nothing up there.
And this, they're admitting it here. I'm just saying.
They're admitting that?
That they were stuff seen.
Okay.
Whatever they were. I don't know. I don't know if it's just straight, like, a lot of this is going to talk about atmospheric phenomena as a natural phenomena that we just don't understand from the higher levels of our atmosphere, like fairy fire, St. Elmo's fire.
Yeah.
Which we observe, we just don't really fully understand what it is, kind of deal, you know? We see those rare upper atmospheric phenomena.
Yeah. Like the ones where the ice forms up there and you see the sunlight shine through and it makes these weird colors in the sky. Yeah.
I mean, rainbows are the most common one.
Yeah.
Where it's if you didn't know what a rainbow was.
And you've seen that.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And I think we just take it for granted that that's a atmospheric phenomena.
It's normal to us.
Yeah. But yeah, so that they're seeing them around space shuttles, satellites, space station, these plasma... These things are attracted to, following, coming up to, going away, colliding with NASA and other organizational craft.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen, and anyone that's followed the UFO stuff or, you know, just follows it in general. They've seen the video of that. Well, that one where it's they're filming it floating, not mm-hmm. floating, flying right above the water, and it dives down below it, comes back above it, and back down below it. It's wild.
So I'll keep reading. So International Space Station and congregating above and descending into commercial and descending into thunderstorms and the lower atmospheric layers.
Okay.
Which is the air corridor favored by commercial and military aircraft. They're just saying that they mostly stay in the upper layers.
Which is something we discussed before.
Yeah, they don't drop into the troposphere unless, it's rarer for that.
And that's where we are.
So they're being observed in the stratosphere and the mesosphere.
Yes.
Like the first three chapters of the book.
Right, right.
And then every once in a while, they're coming down, and that's when they're becoming problems.
And it's important for everyone to know that the troposphere, where we are, that's where the airplanes and all that fly as well, too. That's part of that.
There's almost nothing that is man-made that flies above it.
Right.
I mean, we're talking a couple things.
And I know you don't have the visuals here, but, I mean, the troposphere is just one little sliver of the atmosphere.
It's the smallest section of our atmosphere. Yep. It's 10 to 11 miles, depending on where you're at.
So there's so much above it that's just still within our atmosphere, like the Earth's. That there's just so much space above it it's hard to concept. Yes.
It really is, because it's like I'm pulling numbers. I don't have the book in front of me because it's a graph in the book. I believe the stratosphere is like 35 miles wide, and our layer, the trope, is only 10.
Yeah.
So the one right above our layer is 3.5 times bigger, and then the mesosphere is bigger than that, and then you get to the ionosphere and stuff like that, where it's very loose gases, which traditional organic life would have a hard time sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about energy or plasmic beings, it would be a whole different ballgame. That's a whole nother environment that is like galactically charged.
Yeah.
That's if people don't realize that, like, the northern lights, that's solar radiation bouncing off our electromagnetic sphere, burning off. That's why it's colored. That's just ungodly amounts of energy.
Where there's energy, I mean, that's basically food. And where there's food, there's life.
Which we have things that eat electricity here.
We do?
Yeah, we have things that eat salt. We've talked about it on the show. We've had things that eat sulfur and iron.
How many calories are in a bolt of electricity?
A lot.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Because the calorie math. Because calories aren't real.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to that.
There is real calories, but there's also stuff like they can give you the caloric count of a light bulb.
So weird.
Well, how much it would take you to produce energy, whatever.
Okay.
So yeah, the air corridor are favored by commercial military craft. And many accounts of reports of UAPs following, harassing, chasing, and in quotes, toying with aircraft. Just saying. I've been saying that for like 6 years.
No, yeah. You've talked about it being like a
dolphin playing with, like, the tugboat.
Yeah, they're just checking it out, playing in and out, and then when they lose curiosity, they just go away.
Plasmas also have been observed having explosive properties, negatively affecting electronics and metal activity, possibly inducing hallucinations. And they're saying specifically this, aka alien abductions.
Interesting. Okay.
Passing through glass, plastics, metals, and entering the cockpits of planes, and have been observed by astronauts inside spacecraft and the MIR and the ISS.
Wow.
So they have witnessed these plasmoids going into cockpits of planes,
yep,
affecting people negatively, or they say hallucinations, but whatever, messing with electronics. And they've seen them go inside the International Space Station.
Yeah.
Which is, it's still in the atmosphere, just so everybody knows.
It didn't come down yet.
No, but I mean, it's still in the atmosphere. Saying
it's not in space.
It's not in true, like, it's right in the border of, like, the gravity, the pole.
But you said it correctly. It's still in our atmosphere.
Yeah, but, like, the barely.
Yeah, it's still
You could almost, I don't think in their space station you could do it, but I know there was one where a guy jumped out and parachuted down.
I believe that.
And it was not the International Space Station, because you're still floaty there.
Wasn't that, like, some Red Bull thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, or they sponsored it.
Mm-hmm. So far, I'm only a paragraph into the abstract, and we're 15 minutes in.
It's just the abstract, yeah.
This is the abstract. This is a scientific article, and these are the people. The people. I hate doing that. A lot of these people and the scientific community have been making fun of the UFO community for an extremely long time.
Right.
Saying that alien abductions are people lying.
On drugs.
UFOs attacking planes. These disappearances with planes. Well, there's the whole connection in this article with disappearances in these things.
Okay.
That they may be just vaporizing planes.
Wow.
That's why you don't find Amelia Earhart. That's why you don't find these missing, you know, Malaysian flights. It's because when plasmoids are involved, if they discharge, there ain't nothing but atoms.
What's that? MH370. Flight MH370. Google mm-hmm. that. Just Google it, people.
All right. I'll keep going. It is hypothesized that given they're proposed to collide, plasmoids may be responsible for at least some of the unexplained and inexpendable aircraft disasters. Thunder lightning storms are the main drivers for Earth geological electrocurrents and direct positive currents into the ionosphere, which attracts these plasmas. The troposphere also has an extreme positive charge, and the ocean surface under white water in turbulent conditions develop a positive charge as well. And we hypothesize that this accounts of the sightings of UAPs in lower atmospheres and soaring above and diving straight into the oceans, including, as reported here, shape-shifting UAP replicons that split into and generate additional shaped swift craft, as filmed by NASA and U.S. Customs.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, NASA, we don't film UFOs.
Yeah.
Until they can be like, that's just plasma.
Yeah. Yeah. NASA bothers me, but I think we all
plasmoids know that. Appear to potentially interact and engage in extremely complex behaviors. And it's suspected that they are sentient and represent a fourth domain of life.
Our electromagnetic beings we talked about. Mm-hmm.
Although plasmas in the lower atmosphere may be responsible for UAP sightings over the centuries, including what appeared to be the battles over some of the cities, following and harassing military ships and planes, plasmoids cannot account for all UAPs and may include extraterrestrial spaceships from other worlds.
Okay. So like we speculated when it comes to atmospheric creatures being, you know, organic creatures being UFO sightings. Again, we were talking about it being just little slivers of sightings. Not all sightings. Same thing with these plasmoids. Not all sightings are UFOs or plasmoids, but yeah, there's slivers of them that are.
I'll make sure I put this article.
Put the link out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have tons of pictures of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
What am I guessing?
They are shaped like a lot of our organic creatures.
Or you can find a breakdown of all those creatures and in the book in the description below.
There you go. The only two links will be for this and that. It's weird. I'll read the introduction to the thing. There's a lot of figures. And like I said, I'll put the link for this in below, or Jay will. So you can go and click the figures.
And follow along even while you're watching this or listening to this episode.
Because there's over 49 figures. There's pictures and graphs. And like, there's pictures of these things. They have hundreds and hundreds of pictures of plasmoids.
Mm-hmm. It's wild.
That NASA's been collecting for a long time. That they were saying that no, UFOs aren't real. Even if they said 30 years ago, oh yeah, UFOs are real. They're some kind of natural phenomena of the Earth. And not trying to tell us it's swamp gas.
Right, yeah. No, just with NASA in general, everything's just always got to be misleading. Never
a straight answer.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's never a straight answer. Not a space agency. It's really not. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how many people, like, the human population do we have to fully understand or get through, like, what NASA, they're not a legit, I mean, they are legitimate, but they're not telling us the truth. It's propaganda. I don't know. It's bothersome. We'll save that for another show.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Were you trying to see the time?
Not really, but.
So I'll read the introduction. And I mean, you're going to hear a lot of repetitive stuff and a lot of look at figure 24, 21, 5, you know. But I mean, I'm having fun going through this.
Yeah, and it's not like...
That was two paragraphs, by the way.
Yeah, we just barely scratched the surface.
We're not off of page one.
And it's not like I don't believe I do believe NASA puts out information that is truthful.
There are good people that work in NASA. Yeah. There are scientists that I do trust. It's the same reason for okay, how political do I want to get? Like, I guess I'll say this. Vaccines. I trust the scientist that discovered and made them, because I believe that they came from a good place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust corporations with my health.
Right, that are implementing them.
That's all I'm going to say.
Selling them to you.
Because I have worked with corporations that are dumping sludge. Not that I've worked with them. I've worked to stop them.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumping sludge where kids swim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you know, corporations do not care about your health. And I think NASA and some of the other government agencies are kind of similar. So there's the most political I'll get. I don't like getting political on this show, but that's...
Right.
I trust individual scientists, I think, are good people. And it's just these organizations that are bad.
Oh, yeah.
Because once you get so much money involved and there's stuff to hide... And we've talked about how to have an accredited article and how to actually... We've talked about that on this show, right?
How to what?
Actually get an article published and
that
process.
Either we did on here or it was on Patreon, but yes, we did discover a whole peer review process paper episode. Yes.
Yeah, because it's just, it's not the scientist's fault. Most of the time, they don't even get to pick what they do for the peer reviewed papers.
Right.
That's university staff. Like, that's a person that has no degree in it.
Curates what gets peer reviewed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll keep reading. So this is the introduction. As documented in this report, figures 1 through 49, in supplementary video compilations of NASA space shuttle films, pulsating self-illuminated plasmoids target and collide with other plasmoids.
Okay.
They have video of this.
Kidding. What do they do? Do they explode? Do they...
They merge and come out and it makes new stuff and...
Like
giant cyanophores.
Wow. Okay.
Just saying. How odd.
I wonder, too, like with CERN, you know, when they're flying those particles around.
I think that's making these things mad.
I think it's making everything in our known world mad.
And I'm after reading some of this article, I am going that maybe a lot of the organic UFOs are probably organic in a different way.
Like synthetic?
Like, organic? No, not in a synthetic organic, that they are a different biosphere.
Okay.
That they are plasma-based or they are energy-based.
Yeah.
They are still organic in the term of it as being originating life,
mm-hmm.
but they are not like us. They are not carbon-based, fluid-built things.
Right, yeah.
They are plasma beings, but they are still alive. So this is the biggest argument with biology and viruses.
Right, yeah.
There's plenty of virologists that are viruses are alive.
Right, but they don't fall under the...
The big thing is they need another non-virus for reproduction.
Okay.
So how can you have a species that only... Yeah.
That requires, I don't know, I guess a parasitic, I don't know.
It is, but they have a crystalline structure. They're much more like little robots.
Right, which is crazy.
Which I think falls maybe under that they are probably like a selenium-based, like, organic life.
Ooh.
Okay. A different, like, you know, they have a different, basically, chemical structure to start with. So that's why they're so alien, but they still interact.
Different initial building blocks.
So if these are plasma-based entities or even energy-based entities, and the plasma is just the outside coating that we see, that they still interact with us. And like we've talked about them interacting with electronics, and it freaks them out, or they're messing with it because they're producing the same stuff.
Yeah.
Compasses, and even this article gets into the hallucination fact of it, like we talked about in the book. But we theorize more of the spore thing with, you know, mushrooms, that kind of stuff. But this, like,
for example, Betty and Barney Hill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where people running into these things may have missing time, may imagine whole weird scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just sitting on the side of the road or they're sitting in the woods because they got hit.
When they come to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the plasmoids are, you're an electrical being.
Right.
So the plasmoids are frying that sense, like your system.
Crossing all your wires up.
So you're sitting there tripping out, and they can do whatever they want, which they may not want anything to do with you. They just may have accidentally got too close to you.
Right, yeah.
And then it's causing issues.
Like when you take a magnet and you hold it up, not maybe not now, but like the old TVs, you ever do that? It screws it just screws it all up because you just have a magnet near it.
So they have colliding with other plasmoids. They have it congregating near the International Space Station and the MRI. So that's the other thing is these space shuttles, these space stations that we talked about, the angel scene in the Russian one.
Yep.
And we've talked about the it's called the NASA Squid, which was seen out the International Space Station.
Okay.
And everybody's like, these are hoax photos. Those are faked photos. And now finally, like 10 or 12 or 15 years later, NASA's like, yeah, those are real. We just don't want to panic everybody that there's giant energy squids that live outside the windows. You imagine if they didn't tell you, right? You're an astronaut.
Okay? Can you just see that?
And you open the window and then you don't have to, you don't tell anybody. Like the guy we talked about with the Russian angels.
Yeah.
Because he waited until another cosmonaut came up. He's like, they're going to kill me if I start saying
that you see this stuff.
There's a 150-foot humanoid.
Yeah.
Floating in the atmosphere.
They'll at least take your license away.
And then
make you take some test.
And then you get the second guy, like, you're watching for him to watch the window, like, and then he sees it. And you're like, do you actually see it?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'm not crazy. Because you would. You would think you were crazy.
Probably.
If nobody told you, like, briefed, hey, just so you know, there's some weird anomalies in the upper atmosphere that you're going to see some strange things.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, okay, I'm supposed to see some strange things. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just find it interesting that there's like I said, I'm biased. I have my own thoughts of what some of these things are. But like I said, I'm going to put the link. Read the article. Read along with us. Look at the figures. Pick your own things.
Follow the money.
So I'm going to skip ahead because a lot of these are just kind of restating like cities and oceans, like talking about what the figures are.
Okay.
Because it's like the shape changing and replicating. That's another thing that they've witnessed.
Is it replicating other shapes?
It's replicating the spacecraft or the aircraft that it's following.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's trying to mimic the shapes.
What it's seeing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of signs in this that these are intelligent in some way, shape, or form. And whether they're our level of intelligence or a whole alien form of intelligence.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe it's more like chimps or cuttlefish, you know, where they're still intelligent, but not maybe on human levels.
Hmm.
And the New Zealand one that crashed into it, the guy seen the light start morphing into a plane shape.
Hmm. Okay.
The famous ones, and then the plane was seen stuck in the side of it three or 4 days later.
Yeah.
But it like rammed the plane 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And he's like, this ball of light, and it's forming a plane, you know, it's...
Well, I wonder if it falls under the same phenomena of like on Randy's property with that Bigfoot he saw, where it was, you know, an orb, basically, but it took the shape of a Bigfoot, and it was walking around, but still glowing the same color as the orb, but in Bigfoot shape.
Mm-hmm.
But it started off as an orb and transformed.
Sure.
So if it's the same... If these things are from the same biosphere?
Yeah, so let me explain that again real quick. Hopefully this is an interesting episode. I'm finding it very interesting.
Yeah?
We haven't done a super, super hard science-y one in a while, so... I've been very sick. For anybody that... Thank you for all the messages. We have gotten a lot of messages, Instagrams, emails. Thank you for everybody. I am starting to feel better. I don't know if it's bird flu or walrus fever.
I think it's walrus fever. That's going around right now, and you know, scientists are really scaring people about it.
But I am feeling better. But you guys have sent this a whole bunch. This article, and there's several others, but this is probably the most filled out one.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, let's just go through it. Let's talk about it. Let's see what... I'm reading it, trying to read it word for word. And
well, there's that guy, too, right now, talking about plasmoids and things like that. That Ashton Forbes guy from... Sure. That covered that MH370 flight, the Malaysian flight. And,
The guy from Tony's, that was on Tony's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much I agree with him, but I like the guy. I don't know him, though.
Yeah, me either. I don't know how much I agree with him on stuff either. But he's been talking about plasmoids like this, I think this article in particular lately. So it's definitely in the zeitgeist right now.
But it just bothers me that there's so much of this that fits alien and quote-unquote UFO... You know, abductions, encounters for decades, if not centuries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's the NASA's, you know, saying that, no, there's no spaceman visiting. And I don't think these are spacemen. I believe that these are intelligent plasma.
Just intelligent.
Well, that we're saying that in the same way that saying we are intelligent carbon.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. But intelligent life in our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I'm using the word intelligence very loosely. I don't know. Like, to me, I'm going to put it closer to like squid. Squid, octopus, intelligence. Very smart, but still, you know, probably not on the level of a human.
Yeah, or it's just hard to
compare.
It's apples alien. And oranges.
It's alien. Yeah. So it's, and we've talked about that with life too, that, I mean, just a minute ago, we talked about viruses, that we have other things here that appear to, that move, that walk.
Yeah.
We can, like, on an electric microscope, you can watch a virus move.
Yeah, it's weird.
And it's not alive. It's got legs.
Yeah, it is, but it isn't.
I think it's alive. I just think
it's... Me too.
So skip into the next thing once we get outside of the figures. Thunderstorms are a major source of positive charges directed to the ionosphere and are likely providing excitement charges to plasmoid congregations above and those descending within this range thunderstorm. Thunderstorms also provide negative charges to the Earth's surface, which is surrounded by insulating lower atmospheric, which is also positively charged. So basically, a thunderstorm acts like a, like seriously, like a giant lightning rod.
Okay.
To the surface of the Earth from the ionosphere.
Okay.
And we talked about that, that there are thunderheads that literally scrape into the stratosphere from the bottom, like raining, you know, clouds 100 feet above your head.
Yeah.
10 miles tall, scraping into the stratosphere. So this is creating a bridge of electricity from the ground all the way up.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so, and that the air around the thunderstorms is insulating. So it's literally like a big pillar of energy.
Like a battery from Earth to the sky?
Sure.
Maybe not a battery, but...
I think like a lightning rod, even though it's lightning itself,
yeah,
is probably like the best thing for people to understand. A grounding rod. Like if okay. you work with like insulating like electric fences or anything like that, this it's basically creating a giant grounding rod.
Okay.
So positive charge in the stratosphere, in the troposphere, whether the ocean surface is under white water in turbulent conditions may also develop positive charges. So they're saying that even the ocean just churning itself, becoming white-watered, creates so much energy that plasmoids can either show up there.
Mm. That's, yeah, that I 100% believe.
So I don't know if right now the article stating, or the researchers are stating that plasmoids are attracted to or created by these things.
Okay.
I get the feeling they go back and forth from what I've read already.
So it's like the chicken or the egg argument, basically. Yeah, which one's
we've
first.
Observed it.
Yeah.
Where there are more plasmoids around these conditions.
Correct.
Are these conditions creating plasmoids?
Right.
Or are the plasmoids attracted to these positions?
Okay, maybe a better example would be like where we have Bigfoot sightings or just weird cryptic phenomena in the mm-hmm. woods, but it happens to be like where two rivers connect.
Yeah.
So like, do these things-
Correlation or causation.
Right, yeah. Do they just like this area or is this area creating environments mm-hmm. for them to exist?
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states.
Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
As documented here and in NASA space shuttle films, plasmoids will congregate near space shuttles, and see figures 2, 41, and 42, and descend into lightning storms and the lower atmosphere, see figures 9 and 12, which is the air corridor favored by commercial military crafts. And we hypothesize that this accounts for a majority of UAP following harassments, chasings, and toying with aircrafts. Plasmas also have explosive properties, negatively affecting electronics and mental activities, possibly inducing hallucinations of alien abductions and passing through glass, plastics, metals, entering the cockpits of airplanes where they have been observed by astronauts inside of spacecrafts such as the MIR and the ISS, coupled with their properties to chase, target, and collide with, and couple with related concerns expressions of members of the military and the U.S. Congress. We hypothesize that these plasmoids descend into the lower atmosphere may be responsible for some of the unexplained, inexplicable aircraft disasters and disappearances.
Okay.
So, once again, it's just a further version of what we said in the abstract. And I've read some of this where they're talking like, these things are producing so much energy, are made of so much energy, that if they smack a plane, it's gone.
The plane is?
Yeah. It's okay. It's not vaporized. It's atomized.
Okay.
So keep in mind, so there is differences between those words for everybody at home. Vaporized literally means turned into vapor, which is particles that you can still see.
Steaming away.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
Atomized means you're turned and reduced into atoms.
It's a little different.
It's very different. It's a whole different magnitude of energy is all I'm getting at.
Right, yeah.
So that they may be attracted when they're in these deep diving states.
Mm-hmm.
When they're built, they're like forming in the upper, like the ionosphere, the upper atmosphere, they're way, way up. And then they're dive bombing down. So why are they doing this? If they're colliding with an aircraft, it's gone.
Yeah, just immediately.
And it may not be always gone, depending on the type of plasma, the energy output. Like they're saying that some of the weirdness that people are having, because they maybe turn up and get attracted to a plane, you know, they're passing.
Yeah.
But some of these may essentially be like giant bullets. And when they're slamming down into the ocean, if you're in the way, you're not there anymore.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, just in the sense of a high-powered
cannon
from the upper atmosphere. Because I mean, if
it may be alive,
yeah, if it's like even like I don't know a softball size anything coming from up there, it's going to destroy anything it touches.
Well, it's not even physical in the sense that. We are.
It's like energetically destroying.
Yeah, it's plasma. Yeah.
It's just separating all the bonds from all the atoms in your body.
You're being turned into just atoms. Yeah. You're being released.
Interesting.
The thermosphere and ionosphere is positively charged environment, and the plasmas are electrically charged physical, electrical, and magnetical phenomena. So let me read that again.
That's a lot of going on there.
The plasmas are physical. Plasmas are electrically charged physical, electrical, and magnetic phenomena.
Okay.
So they combine all three. Okay. So think about all these UFO things where we talk about everything from magnets to gravity to electricity to physical, but you can't do anything to it.
Right.
That's plasma. That's what they're talking about with this stuff.
Hmm. You mentioned it going through the windows too. We talked about that. Where that one was seen going through a window pane.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was irradiated.
Yes. So the next sentence, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
No, I wasn't going to talk about that direct thing, but you're 100% right.
Hmm.
Where that they change sometimes the physical structures
of
things they pass through, like magic.
Hmm. Hmm.
But if they're high energy beings or things, and like I said, they may not be intelligent. They may just be like essentially lightning. Another thing that we just don't understand, like a part of the natural environment that's just produced from the Earth's generator.
Mm.
And they just, when they go through it, they create whatever, you know, they change chemicals. So this also corresponds with negative, positive, and neutral changes to cellular levels.
Okay.
So we're getting into crop circle stuff.
I was going to bring that up.
Where the cells almost seem melted and folded.
Yeah.
It may be from plasmoids essentially dancing in a field and their high complex patterns.
Which would make, yeah, that would there's a couple reasons why that makes a lot of sense too, because some of the patterns that you see are so intricate. For me, they're so intricate and I don't want to say symmetrical, but what's the word?
We've compared them to the yellow spotted or the white spotted puffer fish.
Yeah, yeah. Like
these little tiny animals creating
giant.
And they are symmetrical or creative, or I don't know the right words, but there's a lot of, it seems, care and design.
Yeah, yeah. It's precision.
Precision.
Like a CNC machine, basically, making patterns or like surgical precision, I guess, where everything's perfectly measured. But not only that, some of the designs, too, make like geometric, you know, mathematical patterns that, or even electromagnetic, like blueprints. Like one of them was like blueprints for an electromagnetic, what's the word I'm trying? Basically using electromagnetic, I'm blanking on my words, but it basically created a blueprint, and the guy pulled up a working one from like an old blueprint that it's almost matched perfectly to it, but it's, you know, 200 feet long in this field in the middle of nowhere. But that is one thing with the intricate patterns. But then two, when people actually get out there and analyze crop circles or investigate crop circles that I think are authentic and
there's a lot of human-made crop circles. Yeah, I'm going to be very clear. I think like 80% of crop circles are fake, if not more.
Ooh, see, I don't know. I think it's the other way, even. I think it's the other way. Because I don't know. I guess it just... depends what you see,
too. Ones that I'm talking about are like, they look like they're steam folded. Or that like the inside of the stalks were cooked and there's slightly radioactive levels. And
that's what I would consider authentic ones. Because they've like the nodes on the plants, the stems, like where the basically the little joints are in the little stems, are swollen and they're
they're melted.
Yeah, I mean changed completely.
So that's what this stuff does.
Yeah,
is it messes with things at the for it, it and they've had tests where negative, positive, and neutral changes occur to cellular levels.
Which you can't get that from a string and a board, you know, walking stamping plants down. What makes the most sense? That's what goes through my head. You know, a person with a board. You've speculated it too, being just an atmospheric creature landing.
A breeding or landing or even a breeding display like we talked about with the puffer fish.
Right.
These little tiny fish
creating
they make 100 foot and they'll put gold in them.
Yeah, which is wild.
And they make this 100 foot. They used to think it was Atlanteans.
Yeah.
People for hundreds of years thought it was Atlanteans because it looks like humans made it.
Yeah. But it's a little fish.
And it's a little fish. It's just trying to be like,
come on, pick me. Come on, ladies.
But they pick a spot that can be seen from a long distance and from above.
Right, right.
So a field, an open field, if you're in the upper atmosphere, you make something that's 2 miles wide.
You want people to see it, basically.
Yeah, it's you want others. It's for you.
It's meant to be seen. And then that's when I think it gets so weird because, like I said, some of the patterns are so intelligent and it's almost like they're giving technology blueprints to some of them, or just electromagnetic fields. Like they're putting those in on display, I guess. So is it people pushing it down boards, making those patterns, so someone's learning about this stuff, understanding, or is it like you said, atmospheric creatures? Could it be a display, or could it be these plasmoid beings, whatever they are, dropping either intelligence? What if they're just mimicking whatever electromagnetic frequencies coming out of that area of the Earth?
And they hit, and they're just like, I'll make this.
Yeah, it's just a natural phenomenon to make it. I don't know.
Yes.
Well, but then again, why don't they show up in deserts or other areas of other mediums? You know what I mean?
So snow. So snow is because there's nobody there, depending on what you're talking about. If you're talking about like the tundra, where there's good wide spaces of snow.
Yeah.
I think it's, we're talking population density. You got to find them.
Right, yeah.
How many crop circles do you think happen here in the U.S. a year that never get reported?
I'm sure.
Some farmer just like, somebody who just walked through my field.
Yeah.
It happens here. Yeah. It happens here every year.
And we see it here where the wind itself, oddly, will blow over like channels of corn or channels of beans.
It's like the dust devils.
Yeah.
Where you just have it's hard to see unless there's something in it.
Yeah.
But there's just a current, and it looks like a guy walked through and did all these things.
When you come upon it, it looks really strange. But you know it's just wind, which is, it's just weird, though.
So the next paragraph. Oh, no, sorry, I'm not even finished with this one. So, cellular levels. Those in the upper ionosphere and lower atmosphere, the troposphere, have various shapes, sizes, colors, and some consist of multiple plasmas.
Okay.
So this is where we're seeing like a main body with maybe two or three other things swooshing around in it.
Okay.
And they can replicate, forming additional plasmas, and will change in shape.
Well, yeah, a plasma is basically, it's not a fluid, it's not a solid.
It's another state of matter.
Yeah, but it acts as both, kind of.
No, I mean, yes, no.
Yes, not literally, but on observation, it could almost appear, if you didn't know what plasma was, you know, it's hard to put it in a box,
when
solid or liquid.
When it's this big, it's almost like living fire.
Yeah.
Or
fire, same thing.
They're talking about in some of these, of it's more of a solid, like it almost looks like jelly.
Ooh, okay.
Or gas, like a really dense gas, like the living fog kind of things.
Yeah.
Where it's denser, but that's not really there. As in, like, you can't just grab it, but it can grab you.
Like a cloud.
Like a cloud. Like a living cloud. How odd. With lights in it.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it. It's been a while.
Oh, I didn't say it. I guess. Yeah,
living cloud with lights in it.
And odd that a house of God looks like a facade for training death squads proclaiming jihad. I'm just saying, ain't it odd?
It is.
It's from Squidbillies, if anybody's curious. Glowing, pulsating plasmoids have been filmed in the ionosphere and lower atmospheres flying in V formations.
Ooh.
And are verified by quadrilateral analysis. So basically, like whether it's radio towers or different visual points or whatever.
Picked them up.
At the same thing, the same time, different points.
Yeah.
And they will accelerate to hyper speeds and make 90 and 180 degree turns, as well as colliding, merging, and piercing into one another. A recent quantitative analysis of 20 seconds of stable film footage from the STS-115 tether incident indicates that some plasmoids range in size from 0.1 to 4 kilometers.
That's pretty big. That's pretty big.
So from feet to 4 kilometers.
Yeah. I guess that's pretty small to pretty big. Huh.
And guess how fast they've been accurately measured and recorded.
Oh, boy. Do they break the sound barrier?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go with like 900 mile per hour.
So they go about 17.4 miles per second, which yields a velocity of 1,044 miles per minute and a total hour velocity of 62,640 miles per hour.
That was a little off. Few zeros off there.
The sound barrier is like 730.
Yeah.
Miles per hour.
Yeah.
This is 62,000.
Yeah, crush that.
But think of the Tic Tac film. Think of all these things.
Well, true, yeah.
Where they're like, it's gone. We're going Mach 5, and it's gone.
Or that one, they seen it going from the surface of the ocean and all the way to the upper atmosphere, like,
and they're like,
right now.
If it hit the ocean at that speed, it would be destroyed. Well, not if it's not physical like us.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, no way it has a conscious pilot, because you just can't do that. Others travel at much faster rates than these velocities, but cannot be accurately documented due to either like the shortness of film or other variables.
Okay.
But they think there's one that they have that goes going like 100,000 miles per hour.
Gosh.
100,000 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's pretty fast. I can't even picture
it. I mean, because you can't see it. And think about it, if these things are moving that fast, we can't see them.
No.
As humans.
No. You never will. Now with your naked eye.
All the talk, we talk about them showing up in infrared, true infrared.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about them showing up on, radar and sonar. We talk about them showing up in, these other graphs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And getting weird anomalies. And you look up and there's nothing there. Because to you, they are going so fast that they're not there to you. It's almost like the fourth dimension, that it exists and doesn't.
Mm.
And then they hit a plane, it just vaporizes.
Into dust.
Into smaller things than dust.
Okay. In the dust of dust.
I only remember that definition from Monk.
That was a good show.
When he applied for a job as a magazine editor, he got fired from being a detective.
I don't remember.
He handed them the one issue of their magazine, and he was in the thing for 15 minutes, and he found like 1,200 edits.
Oh, gosh.
And they're like, you're hired.
Yeah.
He was talking about between decimated. His decimated is reduced by 1/10. And the building was reduced by 1/3.
Ah.
And he, it was just like that kind of stuff. Yeah. Collectively, these plasmids exhibit aerodynamic characteristics well beyond any of those of known aircraft or missiles, either manned or unmanned.
Okay.
But basically saying it just, these things do things that we cannot, whether it's a manned missile, a drone.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 64,000 miles per hour, 100,000 miles per hour, then it's turning at 180 degrees.
Yeah, it just doesn't even make physical sense.
Because they're just not us, you know, it's...
Right.
They don't have the biological limitations that we do.
Right.
Presumably, those that descend into thunderclouds and appear in lower atmospheric and above oceans engage in maneuvers similar to those in the ionospheres. It may particularly explain why plasmas, aka in this documentary, or in this expert, UAPs, have been detected by U.S. Navy personnel descending a hypervelocity from upper atmospheric and filmed soaring right into the ocean. So that's what they're saying is that, you know, U.S. military personnel are catching things coming out of the atmosphere, going incredible speeds.
Yes.
And just either hovering right above the ocean or slamming straight into the ocean.
Or that video, that one's on film, going up and below the surface of the water.
Glowing, pulsating, and brightly lit plasmas have been filmed in the thermosphere, traveling across America and descending towards and above the ocean. As noted, during periods of turbulence and white water conditions, the surface of the ocean and the air in the atmosphere directly above has also produced positively charged, as in the ionosphere. Thus, the oceans may be attractive to plasmas.
Okay.
Thereby accounting for numerous observations of UAPs above the ocean by naval ships and aviators.
All right. So a lot of accredited witnesses.
I mean, this is making me mad just because it's stuff that's been talked about for 100 years by the UFO community.
Yeah, it's been, but it's been in denial by these same people that, not these same people.
No, because you know how many careers and lives have been ruined because a Navy guy seen a UFO and he had to be like, I tell anybody.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to court-martial me.
Yeah.
Not maybe, not a shooting court-martial, but, you know, a political career court-martial.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I feel like I'm going to go crazy because am I the only one that's seen this?
Oh, they'd rather you just go crazy.
I'm talking the individual guy, gal in the Navy or in the Army, you know, having this personal dilemma.
Yeah.
Of, you know.
And the Army is just would rather you go crazy than tell the truth.
We're already at 50 minutes and we're not even a quarter of the way through the introduction.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a long drawn out. But I mean,
I'll do two more paragraphs, and then we'll call it for this episode.
Okay. But, I think so far this is worth uncovering or worth discussing or going through, because at the end of this, I mean, it's a lot of stuff we discuss, too, like in our own free time. But, by the end of this, I'm hoping we get a little bit better, clearer idea of what these things are and how they fit in with the world we live in.
As reported here, the shape-shifting plasmoids filmed by the U.S. Customs Border Patrol, THCA, off the coast of Puerto Rico, continually changing shapes and sizes as it flew over an airport and then into an ocean and repeatedly split off into additional formed shape-shifting structures.
Mm.
Although these Puerto Rican UFO or UAPs are most likely a transient lower atmospheric plasma, those in the ionosphere also change shape and size and split in additional plasmoid forms.
Mm.
There is pictures and videos of this.
Where they split off?
Like this thing. Changing? Everything I'm telling about, like there's highlighted things. Like you can go watch and look and like, I hope you guys follow along.
Watch it do this?
Just click on the figures and so you can see what we're talking about. Like I said, I'm biased. I have ideas of what these things are. Mm. I think they're alive.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're alive. There's every chance that they're intelligent and controlled. There's every chance that they are just a natural phenomena.
Right.
Because Earth produces so much natural electricity.
Energy.
That it's just, it has to do something.
Yeah.
Energy don't sit still.
No, not at all.
So is it that? Is it, you know, bing, bing, boom? I don't know.
Is the Earth conscious and this is just a way of expressing itself?
This is the Earth. This is the Earth's immune system, and that's why it's just hitting planes.
What the ones spraying things in the sky.
That, you know, they did the Illuminates.
They finally, you know, yeah.
The Illuminates and like the Taylor Swift flying two different personal jets.
Oh, at the same time?
Creating enough pollution as two small towns.
Nah, but that don't matter. She's a celebrity.
Maybe these are warning shots from the Earth.
Yeah, maybe.
Basically, it's a version of a railgun.
What's it called? The Rods of God or something?
They're like, for anybody that doesn't know what Jay's talking about, it was not JFK, Nixon. Nixon, because it was like Project Death Star and the Rise of God and all that were...
Or are you thinking Reagan?
Reagan, sorry,
there
Reagan.
There you go, I was going to say.
Wanted to put, basically, steel girders, that's all they were, was steel girders in the atmosphere, or sorry, in orbit around Earth, and just drop them over targets, because terminal velocity of a steel girder would destroy a small town.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? There's no radiation you got to worry about. It's just a big iron rod. And they were pointed, but you know what I mean. It wasn't just a steel girder.
No.
It was just like a pencil.
He wanted to build a Death Star. And now we have Space Force.
As documented in NASA videos and in this report, plasmoids in the ionosphere will arrive off camera, sometimes in pairs, approach and descend into thunderstorms. In other instances, hundreds of brightly glowing plasmoids and other unknown entities will congregate above a raging storm and engage in a variety of behaviors, including turning, following, targeting, colliding, piercing one another. Behavior also observed when gathering around the satellite's tether, generating electromagnetic energy for the space medium.
Okay.
So above these thunderstorms, there are sometimes hundreds, if not thousands, of these things that are running into each other, following each other, appearing to eat each other. How many times have we talked about that the organic UFOs are attracted to thunderstorms?
Yeah. Or they,
for years, we've talked about this.
Yes. And like them following them or even being around after thunderstorms pass through. Or
the ones that are injured.
Or, yeah, the ones getting pulled that are basically following right in front of thunderstorms, too. Yeah.
Because they're riding on top of them.
Yeah.
They're having,
So how long have they been observing that?
A long time.
That's wild. That's wild. Why don't we know about this?
Okay. And then the article goes, this is not speculation. These are established facts based on original NASA films.
There you go. And that's, you know, that's where it gets hard with the NASA stuff for me.
They could all be lying in this whole thing.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
This could be a big old hoax.
Yeah, just to lead us down a path of, or it's either, it could lead us down a path that, you know, just a misdirection, which is how a lot of these things work to shape your mind and your thoughts and what is and isn't possible and keeps you in the box. But I also think there's parts where they, like we talked about, they got to give you disclosure in one form or another. They got to do it for the karma reasons. They got to tell you what's real and what's not. So it's hard to draw the line because sometimes I believe there is truth, like just flat out truth. And then there's sometimes I think they make things appear to be true and just to deceive you. So I don't know. I guess we'll see as time goes on, but paying attention to those cues, like the red flags that sit off in my head, like this part could be true or this part could be false. You got to use your own discernment to figure that out.
We're on page 2.
Yeah. It's going to be intense.
This is going to take us to the season finale.
I hope you guys like this.
No, what we'll do, I'm going to read one more article.
Or another paragraph.
Another paragraph. If you guys want us to do this,
to keep going,
like we're doing, we'll take a normal week off.
And we'll just do this.
And comment below.
Yeah.
And we'll maybe do it every other week or something like that for a while.
But please let us know. Comment.
I'm having fun with this.
Yeah. I am too. I'm
feel validated.
Yeah. I feel like I'm learning.
Thunderstorms typically range from 10,000 to 20,000 meters above sea level. Therefore, plasmoids in the ionosphere will dive into these thunderstorms and also descending from the altitudes where commercial and military jets typically fly. That's what they're saying is that there's a range in the troposphere above thunderstorms where a lot of these jets and stuff fly over thunderstorms.
Okay.
Plasmoids are way, way up in the ionosphere.
Way above that.
But when they sense a thunderstorm, whether they're feeding on it or congregating on it.
Oh, they come down.
They dive straight down.
Hmm.
So that's when a lot of planes are running into these things.
Gotcha.
Is because they're in the way.
Yeah, they're trying to get above the storms and they're trying to go down.
Whether they're feeding on the storms, reproducing on the storms, or they're just attracted to them.
Yeah.
But you're in the way.
Because, well, storms come through, you know, you got high pressures and low pressures, right? And I can only imagine, since we can't see it, but there's got to be electromagnetic changes in the atmosphere.
We just talked about it a while ago.
With?
That it's the thunderstorms themselves basically create a giant grounding rod.
Yes.
The upper atmosphere.
From the up top to bottom, yeah.
And so the whole round of it is insulated because the other atmosphere.
Gotcha.
So it's positively insulated around it, negatively charged. So it's a giant target.
Yeah.
So like they don't have to see it. They can sense it.
Right. They just feel it. Yeah. And like we talked about earlier, is that drawing them in or is it, or you know, are they going to it or is it pulling it to them? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Plasmas in the lower atmospheres would account for numerous observations over thousands of years of globing orbs flying above cities and encounters with UAPs by civilian and military pilots prior to, during, and after the Second World War, and who are not uncommonly reported to see brightly lit UAPs have followed them, confronted, and nearly collided with them, exemplifying by the following report is where we'll take up next week, or okay. In 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is a report. Like, this is just the introduction.
Yeah, it's wild.
But if you guys like this, like I said, let me read the title of the article again. Like I said, it's got 200,000 views, the article does. But Ron Gabriel Joseph, Olivia Punchin, Christopher Empley, Richard Armstrong, Carl Gibson, Rudolph Schelcheld. The Aerobiology Research Center, the CNRS-UMNR 6282, Bayuso Scientific University de Bugino.
We'll have to put this link in the description.
Check it out. Like I said, this could all be fake. I don't know. Department of Astronomy, University of Arizona, Tucson. Department of Vision Sciences, Anton University, Birmingham, UK. Center of Aerophysics and Space Sciences, Scruple University of Oceanography, University of California, San Diego, Center of Aerophysics, Harvard, Smithsonian, Cambridge.
Smithsonian. Yeah, that's where my one little red flags are, or not one, but one, NASA being involved, two, a Smithsonian member, or I don't even know what you call them. Someone from the Smithsonian Institute has their fingers in this. What my fear is that there'll be truth, a lot of truth hidden in this, but there'll also be a lot of deception as well to lead us down a path.
Sure.
Because that just seems to be the pattern of way a lot of these things go when there's disclosure. But there's also, within that disclosure, other things that lead you to a different final outcome than the actual truth.
And this is on Scientific Research and Academic Publisher is the main website that you can go to look this up. Like I said, I'll put the whole link in. I'm just trying to... Like, as far as I know, it's real. It's on some pretty... it's Journal of Modern Physicists, Volume 15, Number 11, October of 2024, and was peer-reviewed later in the early year of 2025.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited and curious about continuing with this article and breaking it down, because that's how I'm going to be looking for is those just indicators to me that, you know, what could be deception, what could be truth. You know, obviously I'm not an expert on any of this, but I do like, I guess, using my ways of discernment, my ways to narrow things down, whether what's real and what's not.
All right, guys, let us know if you're on Spotify. You can comment below this episode.
Yeah,
If not, on this Monday, go to Facebook and there'll be a poll if you want us to keep doing this article and pulling it apart like this.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I don't know if you guys are enjoying it, but science and UFOs and life and all that.
I mean, a lot to it, and past couple years, ever since those UAP/UFO, you know, trials and discussions and hearings where they're exposing everything.
This slid
everything.
Under the radar.
Huh?
This slid under the radar.
Yeah, this slid right under somehow, so.
All right. I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 57.
We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt is the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!